Let's give our attention to God's Word. This is Psalm 86, and it says a prayer of David. And just a little interesting tidbit, this is the only Psalm of David in Book 3 of the Psalms. And King David says this, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seek my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, O Lord, have helped me and have comforted me." Amen. This is God's word for us. And may he add its blessing to our minds and our hearts. There's a famous theologian, I can't think of his name right off, but he says that every preacher has a special hammer, and he takes every passage of Scripture and he can tap that hammer just perfectly, and it breaks apart into three easy parts. How many of y'all have heard a three-point sermon before? Everybody, right? Every sermon is about a three-pointer. If it's a Calvinistic sermon, it's probably a five-pointer. And if it's a twice-as-good sermon, it's a six-point sermon, right? Because three times two, twice as better, is six. Well, Psalm 86 is really hard to break apart. And so it's good, I think, to understand the main theme of it first and foremost. And the main theme of this psalm is the mercy of God. David here is in some sort of situation where he desperately wants God's help, and so he appeals to God to be merciful. And if we were to stop and pause there for a moment and think about how much we need God's mercy, every Sunday, what we say before the beginning of the service is this: our help is in the name of the Lord. It is he who made the heavens and the earth. And we're making a statement there that without God, we can't do anything. Without God, we can't worship. Without God, we can't approach his holy throne. Without God, there is not a thing that we can do. And so every moment of every day, we need to acknowledge that it is by the mercy of Almighty God that we live, move, and have our being. Remember, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, it is in him that we live and move and have our being. And so here you have King David begging for the mercy of God, possibly the most powerful man on the face of the earth at his time in history, the richest, the wealthiest, one of the greatest. Israel was a great nation, and this man comes to God for help, and he speaks of needing the mercy of Almighty God. This is quite a humbling approach, or humble approach, that King David gives here. And there's a passage in here where David quotes from Exodus 34. Remember when Moses was with Israel in the wilderness and the people had strayed, they had worshiped a golden Baal. They were in need of manna, they were in need of food, they were in need of drink. Moses was in need of all kinds of things, and he asked God for a couple of things. One was he wanted God to pass him by. He wanted to see his glory. And so God says to him, I can't show you my face. No man can see my face and live. So he tucks him in a rock. He covers Moses with his hand, and he passes by Moses. There's a light, a glimpse. And he says to King David, or he says to Moses, and King David here quotes it, find it in verse 15, "You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." And it's that incident in the life of Moses, that recollection in the law, that David remembers when he comes to God and asks him to be merciful to him. He appeals to a major point in Israel's history where God says, I am a merciful God. So with that theme in mind, with that main heading in mind, the mercy of God, I want us to kind of walk our way through this in a couple different thoughts. First of all, David is essentially saying this, your servant has needs. Now, David has some needs, but he approaches it not from, hey, I'm King David, and you said you'd send help. He approaches it in this way, I am your servant, and I have needs. It's a reminder of the Beatitudes, isn't it? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed is the one who is impoverished in spirit. Blessed is the one who knows they are nothing apart from Christ. Blessed is the one who knows they have nothing but only deserve God's wrath and curse and not for sure his mercy. And so it's a good reminder that we need to come to God empty. We do not plead on our own merits, for we have none. We have nothing to offer God, right, except our sin. And so we approach God like David. I am your servant, and I have needs. Notice how he says it in the first couple verses. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. This is King David, king over Israel. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. He comes not in a spirit of arrogance or high and exalted, but he comes poor and needy. So that's one way we can look through this psalm and see that David, the servant, has needs. A second way to look at it is to see what David, God's servant's needs are. So if it began with your servant has needs, the second thing we might can look at is your servant's needs. What are they? And if you flip your way through the 17 verses of Psalm 86, guess how many requests you'll find? No less than 15. All right, this is a psalm of lots of prayer requests. And the basic gist of David's request are that God would be compassionate. Look at the list of requests. You can follow right through verses 1 through 6. They're right in order. He says, incline your ear, O Lord, answer me. I'm poor and needy. The second prayer, preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me. Gladden the soul of your servant. Lord, you're good and forgiving. You're abounding in steadfast love. Give ear. Listen to my plea. And then he skips down to verse 11. Teach me your ways that I may walk in your truth. He skips down to verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious. And then verse 17. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame. Over and over, he's asking God, and he's saying it a bunch of different ways, have mercy on me, be a God of compassion to me. We don't know what David's situation is. Verse 14 gives us a little hint. Insolent men have risen up against him. A band of ruthless men seek my life. We don't know if this is the same situation as maybe the Psalms in the 40s and the 50s where Saul and his group are looking for David. It could be that, but he's in a bad situation. But I want you to notice in verses 11 through 13, David, in spite of all that he needs, the trouble he's in, look at what he still asks for. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. When's the last time you had a friend or so-and-so who was sick, and in the midst of their trouble, they said, I just want to be healed. When's the last time you bumped into somebody that being healed was a good thing, but their real prayer was that God would sanctify them? Have you heard that one? I mean, I want to be cancer-free, or you know, the illness to go away, but Lord, make me more holy. Make me to know your ways. Teach me, David says in verse 11 here, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. I mean, yes, he cares about the insolent men of verse 14, I hope, but he wants to grow. He wants to grow in grace, walk in truth. He wants his heart to fear the name of God, and he wants his whole heart to glorify God's name forever. That's a pretty radical insertion there, isn't it? We want the cancer cells gone. We want the bones to mend. We want the aches and the pains to disappear. And those aren't ungodly things. It's not to say that just because you want those things, you're ungodly. But isn't it interesting, David, in the midst of this prayer for God to be compassionate when he has enemies, he says, grow me in grace. That might be a good perspective for us to add to our prayers. For our greatest need is to know God and to walk with him. But that's what he prays for. And then in all the verses nearly, we have a third thing that we can take a peek at, your servant's arguments. So we have your servant has needs, your servant's needs, and now your servant's arguments. We don't often think about praying as arguments to God, but how many times in Psalm 86 do you see the word for or because? It's there quite a bit. Look at verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Verse 2, preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you, for you are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. And you can make your way all the way through the psalm and see in every instance where David asks God to do something or to provide, he gives an argument. For I am needy, for I am poor, for I am godly, for you are God, for you are merciful, for you are the only God, the only living and true God. It's why in our practice of prayer, what do we begin with on Sunday nights? We go through adoration, and then we go through confession, and then we go through thanksgiving. And it's at last that we hit our supplications. And, you know, most church prayer times are we call them the organ recitals. Dear God, please help, not the organ in the sanctuary, but so-and-so's bowels or so-and-so's heart or so-and-so's lungs or whatever. It's the organ recital, right? And those are important things. God cares for them. We should pray for them. But by the time you get through adoration, confession, and thanksgiving, there's a little bit more important things in life than organs. Yes, God cares for organs. Yes, God cares for Aunt Susie's friends, cousins who once knew somebody who met the president who got a cold and is still sniffling and they need our prayers. Right? Sometimes that's the way church prayer lists can go. And yes, God does care for those. But how about thy kingdom come? How about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Our priorities, our prayers change a good bit when we orient ourselves towards God. Yes, the sniffles do matter. But even greater is the advance of God's kingdom. And so when we pray, we argue with God, we strive with God, and we present our case before him. And so it's good for us to get rightly aligned. Something to think about when we pray, something to think about when we call out for the mercy of God. And it's simply this. I hope you're struck by these words. As you read through the book of Exodus, Moses is out in the wilderness, and what is he doing? He's tending the flocks in Midian of his father-in-law, who had that wonderful southern name, Jethro, remember? Father-in-law Jethro had his flocks, and Moses was out caring for them. Meanwhile, Pharaoh is an evil taskmaster, and the Egyptians are crying out to God that he might relieve them of their burden. And so when God comes to Moses and says, you're going to deliver my people, you're going to deliver my people from the hand of Pharaoh, he says to Moses, I have heard their cry. I have heard their pleas for mercy. And so God raises up in Moses a deliverer who will go to Pharaoh and who will liberate the people of God through signs and wonders. And we have to then think of the greater Moses and the greater Exodus. And we have to remember that God has heard the cries of his people who are in bondage to sin and misery. Think of Jesus' ministry when he bumped into the beggars or the blind or the lepers or the woman who came to him and touched the hem of his garment in faith. What was their cry to God? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner who is sick and wounded and sore. And we have great comfort that God in Christ not only hears, but that he saves. Let's pause and give thanks together. Our Lord and God, we come before you this night grateful and thankful that in Christ Jesus, you, the God of compassion and mercy, have shown your great love and steadfast care for your people so greatly. And we can lay hold of it by faith, by boldly coming to your throne of grace, by pleading our case and our cause, by begging on your mercy, on your past action, your past promises, and your great character. We give you thanks for this. And we know that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And so we have great confidence. Hear our prayers as we offer them to you in the name of Christ. Amen. Peace.